Good morning and welcome. Peace be with you. Good things come to those who wait is the title of today's sermon given by the Reverend Christopher Johnson in this worship service coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. We invite you to join us in praising God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. The service begins with the prayers for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, God Whose Almighty Word, number 979 in the Lutheran service book. The organist is Rod Reese, the vocalist is Jessica Ray, and Jim Speckard. The violin is played by Mary Primo, the lector is Jessica Ray, the presiding pastor is the Reverend Dr. Stephen K. Jurdy, the assisting pastor is Reverend Joseph Pinzel.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 67.
May God be merciful to us and bless us. Show us the light of his countenance and come to us.
Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations upon high earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth her increase. May God, our own God, give us his blessing.
May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
Glory, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from Romans, chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us confess the faith with one heart.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In response to the Word of God, the congregation now sings the hymn of day, "When in the Hour of Deepest Need," hymn number 303 in the Lutheran Book of Worship.
We are. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from our God and Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. One of the great struggles that many young people are facing now and will be facing in the near future is gainful employment. With local, national, and global economies in the midst of recession, the job market just isn't what it used to be 6 months ago. With employers hedging their bets and not investing as much as they used to, there is much anxiety for young folks looking to better their lives. Churches, too, we all can tell by just looking around us in the pews that we also have much anxiety as well. We must wrestle with the long-term effects of how people and society in general has responded and will respond in light of this new virus. But the important thing to remember that we as Christians are called to endure, to persevere, to patiently wait on the Lord. St. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces hope, hope produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because of God's love, which has been poured richly into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us." And in Hebrews chapter 10, we hear this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." People of God, the day of the Lord is approaching, and nothing can stop that day from coming. This truth and this reality motivates us all the more to be diligent in our faith. After all, the faith that you've received is not some sort of hobby. Being with God's people to receive the word and the sacrament is not simply a pastime you enjoy from time to time when you have time and when it's convenient and safe, but this is who you are. This is who you are. This is in your DNA. This is your experience of Jesus, which is even more real than what you experience day after day, week after week, year after year, as Pastor Jurdy pointed out last week. Now we see a wonderful example of this endurance, this perseverance, this patiently waiting on the Lord in the face of trouble with the Canaanite woman in our reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning. Nothing is going to keep this woman from her Lord and his gifts. Her daughter needs healing. She needs saving from the power of the devil. She cries to Jesus for mercy, and Jesus, for a moment, remains silent. He says nothing. The disciples then try to shoo her away, and that doesn't stop her. And then Jesus pricks her conscience then by pointing out that his mission first is to Israel, the lost sheep of Israel, and not to her, to the Gentile nations, not quite yet. The mission to the Gentiles in Christ's name would be done by others, as we see in the book of Acts. And we know that Jesus will have mercy upon the Gentiles. We already saw in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus did such a thing to a centurion's servant. And also in Jesus' own genealogy, there are Gentiles in his family tree. Tamar, who tricked Judah in Genesis chapter 38, was most likely from the land of Canaan. Ruth was from the land of Moab, southeast of Jerusalem, what we now call modern-day Jordan. And King David's wife, Bathsheba, was likely from what we now call Ethiopia. And so in Jesus' family tree, Gentiles received mercy. God will indeed have mercy upon all Gentile nations, but not quite yet. Not all of them quite yet. The timing isn't right. But this doesn't stop the Canaanite woman either. And so she asks again, Lord, help me. You can feel the desperation in her words. She just won't give up. She won't be pushed away. She won't be told no. And then here comes the real test. Already Jesus was silent towards her. The second time Jesus says, well, it's not for you I've come, but for the nation of Israel first and foremostly. And then Jesus says this, and I can imagine he has a little hidden smile and a twinkling in his eye just to see how this woman would respond to what she heard. So Jesus says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I said, what? What did Jesus just say to this woman? What did he say to her? Well, what he says isn't as offensive as some people think. As many people think, the word translated dog here is actually better little dog or little pet. She is not one of the mangy dogs running around digging in garbage heaps, but she is a little dog. Kind of like when I talk to my son, we'll call him Jack Rabbit. He's actually not a rabbit, but of course, he's just a little guy. In a way, it's a term of endearment. Jesus lifts up the little ones very often in Matthew's gospel. And so this woman takes what Jesus gives to her, this title of little dog, little pet, and she uses it very cleverly and gives it back to him and says, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now, what faith this is indeed. God bless this woman who pursues her Lord because she knows that Jesus is the only one can help, and she won't be turned away. Jesus helps her, and she gratefully receives those crumbs because for God's little children, good things crumb to those who wait. Please forgive the very bad pun. Now, how many people, when they bring their prayers to God, receive silence? Yet they keep on asking, they keep on seeking, they keep on knocking, wanting at least some crumb of evidence that God is listening to their prayers. Or how many of you have been tempted, perhaps, after praying for years for a child or for a spouse or for a friend who has wandered from the faith or who has not been part of the faith, to come back to the faith, yet you're just so tempted to throw in the towel because you wonder if God is even hearing your prayers. You pray and you pray and you pray some more, and what do you hear? You hear nothing. Silence. Or how many of you know someone who has walked away from the church, perhaps because someone spoke an ill-timed word to them? Kind of like Jesus spoke to this woman. So-and-so said this to me about me or my family, and so I'm not going to ever come to church ever again. Now, don't get me wrong. The church is never a place for verbal attacks and personally offensive things or slurs to be said. The most offensive thing in the church should always be the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified for sins, for sinners, and raised from the dead for your justification. That is the most offensive thing we have to say in the church. But if someone walks away from the church because someone maybe called them rude, or maybe someone called into question why they only come to church a couple times a year, that really is no excuse to leave the church whatsoever. To leave the church is to hop overboard a ship without a life preserver. It's madness. Now, I can think of a few times when someone said something to me that at first I thought was personally offensive. It's like, what did you just say to me? Did I hear you right? Now, this didn't happen to me at church, but I remember once someone calling me selfish. Chris, you're so selfish. But after I thought about it, there's a fair amount of truth to that. I know how selfish I can be. And so I repent of that sin and try to correct that sin by the grace of God. But I am still a work in progress. I'm just a little dog, a little pet, just like the Canaanite woman who needs as many crumbs to fall from the master's table as possible. Without his crumbs, I would be a mangy mutt wandering aimlessly outside the household of God, outside the church, starving and removed from the life-saving power of God's word and his sacraments. And it wouldn't be God's fault if I were on the outside. That would be mine. Now, people of God, this gospel lesson can teach you many things. Persevering in the middle of awkward or difficult circumstances. How to stay strong in the faith when it seems as if God is silent. How to grow as a child of God in the midst of criticism, whether it's well-intentioned or not. Or how we are to patiently wait on the Lord in all circumstances. But one important lesson that I want you to take away with from this gospel, where a Canaanite woman desperately reaches towards her Savior for hope, for healing, for mercy, both for herself and for her daughter, is that you are at the right place to receive crumbs from the Master's table. You're not going to find his crumbs at the grocery store. There will never be a sale on them. You won't find them in the clearance section. These crumbs won't have coupons for them in the local paper for your local grocery store that you can cut them out and buy them at a discount. No, these crumbs from the Master's table are here for you today, as they are here every day at Zion. The Master's table is always prepared for you to receive the crumbs of salvation, the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. And we'll even make sure that these crumbs will fall into your hands and not onto the floor. Martin Luther once wrote this on his dying day. He said, "We are all beggars. This is true." And so all of you beggars, all of you little ones, all you little dogs, little pets, as Jesus once said to the Canaanite woman, come to the Master's table. Because good things come to those who wait, and you've waited long enough. Receive this gift that the Father may indeed have mercy upon you this day and always. Receive Christ himself and every single crumb he has to give you, that you may be fed, forgiven, and set free. The peace of God which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all creation according to its needs.
O God of creation, Lord of all that you have created, you are holy, almighty, and gracious, bringing all things out of nothing and still sustaining them in your great power. Fill the whole earth with your presence and finish in us your merciful purpose. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healer of the nations, look in great compassion upon this nation in which we live. Bring life where there is death, justice where there is anything amiss, peace where there is conflict, health where there is illness, and protection where there is danger. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O King of love and righteous judge, you have made man and woman in great beauty and set them within tribes, languages, and nations. Draw together the whole human race into the unity that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. This Expel from our midst all division, hate, greed, and lust. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O light and joy of heaven, bring your joy to earth and fill the bodies, souls, and minds of all for whom we pray, including Hilmer, Karen, Dave, Max, Lads, and Rich, Ruth, Carol, Barbara, Dennis, Rita, Ben, Lydia, and for Amy, Amanda, Olivia, Deborah, Grace, Maggie, Tina, Barb, Candy, and Krista, David, Joey, Richie, Bonnie, Lynn, Mark, Nancy, Jim, Lynette, Nancy, Mike, all of Zion's homebound members, and the Edwards family. Free them from every affliction, and adorn them with your glory, Lord, in your mercy.
Forever.
O destroyer of evil, and giver of all that is good, look in great mercy upon the church that you have formed in the precious blood of Christ. Feed her with truth, sustain her with your life, make her glad in your presence, and keep her with Jesus Christ in the true faith of the age that never ends. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Pastor Jurdy will now lead the congregation in the sacrament of Holy Communion, assisted by Pastor Pinzel and Pastor Johnson. Two hymns will be sung by the vocalists during the distribution. Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 370 in the Lutheran Book of Worship, and Go My Children with My Blessing, number 922 in the Lutheran Service Book. The broadcast of today's service is sponsored by Landis and Linda Holdorf in honor of their grandchildren, Landis and Joelle Holdorf's wedding anniversary on August 17th.
And also with you, lift our
give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the Church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna,
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Amen.
In the same way also he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
you have refreshed us in the human power of this gift of life. And we pray in your mercy and strength through this gift, in faith for you, and in perfect love for one another, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
For those who have come for the question and answer session today between services, it will be held here in the nave where there is greater room for us all to gather.
Please join us at this same time next Sunday morning. Worship services at Zion Lutheran are held Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. A midweek service is live streamed on Facebook on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Bible study is live streamed each Sunday at 11:15 a.m. on Facebook. Zion has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 83 years, and the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your letters and comments. Our address is Zion Lutheran Church, 709 North 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. You can get more information on Zion's website at www.zionlutheranwausau.com. And now may our Savior Jesus Christ be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed week.
The Lord's peace be with you. This is Pastor Stephen Jurdy at Zion Lutheran Church, bidding all of our radio listeners a blessed day on this, the Lord's Day. Why do we call Sunday the Lord's Day? In the Old Testament, there was the commandment given through the prophet Moses that God's people were to keep the Sabbath day holy. The word Sabbath means seventh. But we worship on the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. Why do Christians do so? And of course, the answer comes in the resurrection of our Lord. Our Lord was raised from the dead on Sunday. And so initially, the early church continued to worship or observe their home devotions on the Sabbath, as all faithful Jews did, and that Sabbath was reckoned from sundown on Friday through the daytime on Saturday. And then they also gathered to worship to celebrate the Lord's resurrection on the first day of the week. For how could they not remember that blessed event on the day in which it happened? It was so glorious and so very good. In time, of course, also, they began working out the implications of our Lord's death and resurrection, which is that all of the Old Testament law was fulfilled in the death of Jesus. He suffered for our sins, and in his life he lived also a perfect life, keeping all of the law. And so our faithfulness to God is not to be found in the outward observance of certain rituals or rites, but in faith in Jesus Christ. And this is why in the Lutheran Catechism, when Martin Luther was going to just explain the third commandment, he said that this third commandment means that we are to hear the word of God and gladly learn and obey it. That is because it is by the word of God the thing is made holy. And so every day is holy through the word of God, namely the word of Christ, the word of the gospel that Christ died for our sins and is now raised again. And so it's not this particular day on which we worship that pleases God. It is the day of grace being preached to us that pleases God. This is why the church also continues to celebrate Holy Communion every day across the world. In fact, here at Zion, we now are having daily communion services Monday through Friday at 12:15, as well as our regular services on the weekend, 5:15 Saturday, and 9:11 on Sunday, because every day is the Lord's Day, now that the day of grace has dawned. So we celebrate that resurrection, especially on the first day of the week. We also celebrate it every day as we hear the word of God and gladly learn and obey it, full of the faith of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord's peace be with you.